everyone. Welcome back to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill. You will hear Brody's melodic voice here in a second. I just wanted to pop in here and let you know that the episode you're about to listen to was recorded prior to the SAG-AFTRA strike being called. So this is about 4 month old content. You are going to hear straight from our vaults. We are so excited to be back and releasing episodes, recording fresh stuff for you to listen to. So thank you for sticking with us and enjoy the episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
Hey.
And Caitlin.
Hello.
And today we are talking about season 6, episode 7 of One Tree Hill, titled Messin' with the Kid, which, fun fact, is a song by Junior Wells.
Never heard of him.
Nope, but it's an apt title for the episode.
Yep.
So we start with Peyton, who is reading B. Davis magazine with an article about couples moving in together for the first time. And Lucas walks in as she's talking about it, and he says, oh, I'm way ahead of you. As we see, he's got a brand new shiny cage in his bedroom for her. He says, yep, you're going to go in the cage, Peyton. And we find out it's a nightmare, of course. And Peyton just then takes the magazine and hits Lucas and wakes him up.
It's one of the least subtle nightmare sequences the show has ever done.
Yeah. And that's saying something, given the whole, you know, the coupled up one where it ended up with Chris Keller and Lucas together.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Then we go to Brooke, who in the middle of the night is woken up by Owen. And Brooke just says, I didn't order any bad Italian.
To which I yell at the TV screen, he's Armenian! Come on!
God. Owen says he has her ID. And he says, well, this was used to buy drinks at the bar tonight. And we see that it's Sam, that she swiped it and was busted at trick. And Owen and Brooke trade more lovely insults before she shuts the door on him and starts to reprimand Sam, who just goes into a room and shuts the door on Brooke. Great. Things are working out great for Brooke. It's
things
fine.
Things are great. I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Owen's been bartending at Trick this whole time, and we just haven't seen him? Peyton's always at Trick. What the fuck?
Well, wasn't he on True Blood by this point?
Maybe.
Not an in-world answer.
Yeah, in-world, it doesn't matter. He left. Now he's playing slam ball. And
he's playing slam ball and bartending on the side.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now because now I'm curious, as always. So this was 2008. He didn't start True Blood till 2010.
Oh. Why in my brain did True Blood start so much earlier?
Well, True Blood started in 2008. He didn't come on the show till 2010.
No, but why in my brain did it start in, like, 2005?
Oh, yeah. No, it was 08. It was 08. Because that was another show during my college years that I was like, I cannot miss this show. I have to watch this show. Because it was so good. But, yeah, because werewolves and everything that he was didn't come into the picture of True Blood till season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway. I remember. Yes. Then we get Millie, who is woken up by Mouth, who says, Millie, what are you doing in Omaha? So stupid.
So
and
I
she
got to,
believes him for a hot second. Yeah, she believes him. Yeah, and it's so funny.
This is the first time this season Ben and I have been able to watch episodes together. And Ben's like, that is the quickest way for me to get a black eye is if you are sleeping and think you're home by yourself and I crawl into bed with you when you're not expecting it. I would not be a whole person. I'm like, no, you would be injured. It would just like, she is so, I don't know how she's so calm and collected by a man just crawling into her bed when she doesn't expect it. What? No.
Yeah. Yeah. But no. It's mouth. So it's fine.
Yeah. It turns out fine.
But... It turns out fine. And he's back home now and everyone's happy. Great, great, great. Cool.
Did you talk about Brooke reprimanding Sam when she came in after Owen dropped her off and her being like, yeah, you go get some sleep because being Brooke Davis is exhausting.
Right.
That was, I laughed out loud several times during this episode. And that was the first one because I was like,
yep.
Oh, this poor woman. She has no idea what she's gotten herself into. Like,
poor 22-year-old who is now watching over a 15-year-old. There's only 7 years difference between them.
Right. Yeah. There's seven years difference, and it is Brooke 7 years ago. And she goes, ugh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She realizes what she's done.
I now get why my parents were not around. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yikes.
Dark.
No, like I told you, like this was such a funny fucking episode, but Dan Scott did have my hardest laugh this episode, and I will give that to him.
There we go. Okay. So then we go to Haley and Jamie, who are watching Nathan practice some slam ball, and they are very happy to see him playing again. Nathan says, while he's playing, that he would like to see Haley play some music again. But Haley says, you know, too much has gone on right now for her to even think about music. Great. Sure, Hales. Sure. Then Lucas wakes up and goes into the kitchen to find Peyton making breakfast. And she asks him how he slept. He says, not well, as, you know, someone hit me with a magazine in the middle of the night. And Peyton apologizes and says that she was reading this, you know, B. Davis magazine and this article about moving in for the first time. And she was worried about it, about them moving in together. And she explains, the article says that they can expect to find out things you don't know about each other as well as you think. And she's like, to make up for it, I'm making your favorite. He's like, ooh, French toast. And she says, no, pancakes. Oops.
Whoops.
Jesse, yes. As the only person on this podcast who lives with a significant other, is this true?
No.
Like, no.
I mean, yes. But also, like, I think it sounds very, very boring, like, knowing everything all at once about a person. Like, you're always going to keep learning things about partners, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just curious if that was, if what B. Davis Magazine is telling us is true.
Yes. Ben and I did not have a conventional moving in story, so...
We can thank COVID for that one.
Yeah. I kind of just, like, started squatting at his apartment because I was tired of living alone during COVID. But, yeah, I mean, there's always growing pains. I think it sucks that she hasn't felt like she's been able to unpack yet. That is... Yeah. That's on Lucas. That fucking sucks. But
she's got to have been there for like at least a month now.
Yeah, at least.
Well, it's been. Yeah, I mean, probably 2 months, honestly, because there was a 2 week jump between episodes 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And like Brooke,
and then the episode before that, it had been 8 days since Clinton died.
Yeah. Yep. So probably 2 months ish. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so that's on Lucas. That's Lucas sucking.
Which Peyton has the best line. I will go at you for best line of this episode because, we'll get to it. But yes, going back to it then, Brooke also made pancakes for Sam, but finds out that Sam is gone again.
They were just as well received.
Yes. Then at school... Jamie comes across a boy who pulls on Jamie's cape and says that his cape is stupid. And Jamie says it's not stupid and that he wears it for his friend Quentin. And the boy then says, well, Quentin must be stupid too, to which Jamie responds by tackling his little ass to the ground and beating him up.
Hell yeah, not just like his mom.
He's got a whole head on Chuck. Uh-huh. Yep. Or Chuck's got a whole head on him.
Yep. Jamie is small but mighty.
Yeah. He's like, Jamie said, I will knock your ass out without thinking twice.
Right?
Yep.
Yes. Then Peyton continues to read the article and reads a part where it says that just because you move in, his stuff doesn't move out. And she says that she found a picture of Lindsay in the house today and that she hasn't unpacked any of her stuff yet. Lucas apologizes for that. He's like, I'm sorry. Well, here's what we'll do. We will just stay in today until all of your stuff is unpacked and this is our place. She says, great, cool. So he locks the door. Cool. What could go wrong? What could go wrong?
Again, this is on Lucas. He still has a picture of Lindsay up.
Well, to be fair.
I mean, let's not forget, he didn't get over her, like, you know, in a normal amount of time. It was like instantaneous. Then he called Peyton and then they traveled to Las Vegas and then they immediately moved in together the next day. So yeah. I don't think he had a lot of time to, you know, get rid of his ex's shit.
I don't care. He's still like, he's doing so much better, but he still fucking sucks. God.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Then Brooke. Sorry, let me preface this. We're in Haley's classroom. They're learning about haikus.
Yes.
And Brooke storms in and just stops in front of Sam's desk and just holds out her hand. And Sam begrudgingly pulls out a pair of sunglasses and gives to Brooke, which she takes, and then holds her hand out again as Sam returns her wallet that she took from her. And Brooke just leaves, to which then Haley recites a very funny haiku about Sam being in trouble.
Oh my God, it was so good.
If I was Brooke, before I invited any more house guests, I would buy myself a safe to put my fucking money in. Because
seriously,
this is the second house guest she has had that has stolen her fucking money.
Yep.
Well, yeah. At least this one, she can get it back.
That's very true.
Yes. This one can't skip town with her wallet.
Right. Yes. Yes. So then Dan picks up Jamie from school, and Jamie tells him he's not liking school that much right now since Chuck Skolnick was picking on him about his cape. And Dan makes some colorful remarks about Chuck's alcoholic mother and explains that people are always jealous of Scott men because they are better than them.
Yeah,
great. Great,
dead brother.
Great,
doing.
Great, like,
great.
Yeah. Right? Oh my God. Yeah. Yep. It's not funny, but it is funny. It's fine.
Not funny, but yeah. Sorry. Continue. Yeah.
It's a good joke. A great joke, even.
Yeah. Then we see Mouth all dressed up in his suit, leaving his bedroom. As Millie says, well, what are you doing? I thought we weren't going to dress up for each other anymore. Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, no, I'm going to beg to get my job back. She's like, oh, okay, go have fun. Bye. Then Brooke comes back into Haley's classroom after school and apologizes for just bursting in. And she admits that Sam is more of a handful than she thought when taking her in. And but Brooke assures her that she will handle it. But she doesn't really know how. And Haley tells her that you just need to lay down some ground rules and structure because that's what Sam needs, because she actually is a very bright kid. Great.
Yes.
Cool. Then Peyton and Lucas start to unpack their stuff. And Peyton's like, well, let's start with the albums. But I'm sure I probably won't need to because we'll have a lot of doubles of stuff. And as she pulls out an album by The Cure, Lucas says that he doesn't like The Cure. Peyton is thrown by, and Lucas calls it depressing and whiny music. And then Peyton gives my favorite line ever in this television series of, yes, and if it could squint, it would be you.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. I died. I had to pause because I laughed so hard at it.
Lucas Scott is the dumbest. Just the
dumbest boy in school.
The dumbest boy in school. Uh-huh. Here, while she is feeling insecure about moving in together and having all these
fun of one of her favorite bands. Yeah,
let's make fun of one of her favorite bands. Let's do that.
Yep.
One of her favorite bands that she even points out, she wrote lyrics to all over the River Court to confess her love to him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then he's just like, I like the lyrics. I don't like the music. And she's like, okay, I'm sure there are things, you know, that we don't, you know, that we're not both interested in, you know, like your tattoo. I don't really like your tattoo. And I don't think you know what it means. And it's really funny that Brooke has one very close to her lady business. It's the exact same.
No, she tells him, I don't think it means what you think it means. I looked it up.
Yeah.
It means bucket.
I also looked it up at this specific point. to see if somebody on the internet had figured it out. And apparently it's like, it means like have, like I have a dog, or like I have to do this. So it doesn't, it does not mean fun or bucket, but you know.
Our headcanon will always be fun bucket though.
Yep.
Fun bucket. Always fun bucket.
Yep.
God, the fun bucket tattoo. That's a season one callback there, folks.
Ooh, I know. Yep. And the fact that Brooke has the same tattoo.
Very She's close like, to her lady that. Business.
Lest we forget.
Oh, God. It's just, yes. That entire interaction was great. Yeah. Then the next scene is Lucas finding Peyton in the master bedroom, which, you know, is Karen's old room, and asks him why they haven't moved in here yet. Because, you know, Karen gave him the house, and this is the master bedroom, so why aren't they in there? And Lucas says it's weird because he didn't want to sleep in his mom's room. But if you want me to do it, I will. And Peyton's like, yes, yes, I want you to. And he's like, okay, fine. Then we'll get to it, Jesse. We'll get to it. Then Haley is walking along the pier, and she finds a busker who recognizes her and says that she loves her music and is waiting for her next album. And reminds Haley that her music matters to a lot of people. Fun fact, did anyone recognize who that busker was?
She looked familiar, but I have no idea who it was.
It's Grace Potter.
It's Grace Potter. Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's why she looked familiar.
I love Grace Potter.
Yep.
She looks a lot like Emerald Fennell. So I kept getting distracted. I'm like, she's not, though. I don't think Emerald Fennell, like, sings, really. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Grace Potter.
Mm-hmm.
God damn.
Yep. Yeah. Then we go to Mouth, who meets with the station manager, who Mouth first starts to beg for a job, and then he realizes that they actually really want him at the station. They're like, we need you, Mouth. What do you need? And Mouth's like, fine, I want an office, I want better snacks in the break room, and I want an intern. And he's like, done, done, and done. And yay.
Disappointed in him for not saying, and also a fat fucking raise.
Right.
Right.
Yep. But that's how you know he's still 22.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Then then we go to Nathan and Haley, who talk to Jamie about his fight at school. And Haley tells Jamie the story about her ugly poncho that nobody liked, but she loved it. Ugly ass fucking poncho.
I love it. I'm still gonna make it. It's happening.
I love that. And they both tell him that he should learn to just walk away. And he'll be tougher than Nathan ever was. Because that's what he says. Well, I just want to be tough like Daddy. And Nathan's like, no. If you walk away, you're going to be tougher than I ever was.
Your daddy never saw a fight he didn't immediately jump into. So
exactly. Exactly. Yes. Then we cut back to Lucas and Peyton.
Anyway.
And well, they tried to do something in the master bedroom, and Lucas's equipment just didn't work. We'll just put it that way. And Peyton laughs so hard, and she says, I've never seen anyone yell at it before.
Oh my God. So good.
Oh, so he's pouting. He's so pouty.
And she says, it happens to every guy at some point, right? And he just yells at her. He's like, it's because we're in my mother's room. Oh, it's so funny. And he says, you know, the magazine is to blame for all this. And Peyton's like, oh, no. The magazine has been spot on this whole time. You cannot. It's the magazine's fault. And Lucas is like, fine. So he pulls out his cell phone and he says, I think I've made a huge mistake. I'm going to call Lindsay. And Peyton just turns and says, well, if you think that'll help.
Just oh God, it's so mean but so funny.
I mean, if I were Peyton, I would have done the exact same thing. I would have said almost verbatim every single thing that she said to
that man. The fact that she points out that he yells at it, like,
yeah, that is the
that's the part that, like, that's how the audience makes it, like, that's how it gets made clear to the audience what she's laughing at.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And that is the scene that absolutely gets included when we do the HBO remake.
Uh-huh.
That there is no fade to black, come back the next morning. It is.
Yeah.
I need the yelling. I need to see how that went down.
Oh, it was so good and so stupid and so funny.
I can, in my mind's eye, he like excuses himself. He like leaves the bed. He's like, just a second, I'll go handle this. And she can just hear him in the bathroom going, come on, man.
Do it, man.
Don't fuck me like this.
Oh my God. Right? Oh, Jesus. Okay. Then we cut to Brooke, who comes into Trick looking for Sam, and she finds a wild Owen instead. And he says that she hasn't been in. And then Brooke takes the opportunity to yell at him or talk to him and tell him he left so fast when she told him that she wanted a baby, that he left an Owen-sized shaped hole in her door and she never heard from him again. And he was a jerk for doing that. And Owen just agrees and apologizes to her, which Brooke then just says, you're a jerk, and leaves.
Good one, so, Brooke.
Yep. Brooke's being very mature about this situation, I will say. They're all very mature adults about this whole situation.
Yes.
God. Then Peyton wakes up to a house divided down the middle.
Yeah.
And we see Lucas on the other side of the line reading B. Davis magazine. And so he's basically challenging her. You have your side. I have my side. If you cross the line, you're going to admit that this article is wrong, that the magazine's wrong. And, you know, Peyton just turns to him and goes, it is so on.
This is what moving in with your significant other is actually like, if yes. I had to guess.
God. Okay. Then we get so many good scenes. Then we get Haley dropping Jamie off at school. Jamie ducks down to tie his shoe when he sees Chuck and his mom to avoid him. And as the kids walk into end of school, Haley talks to Chuck's mom. Chuck's mom is a complete bitch who laughs at Jamie and his cape and makes fun of him to the point where Haley threatens her and pushes her.
Yes.
Yes. Get it, Haley. Which is then immediately hard cut to Nathan, who is shocked. He's like, what happened to walk away there, Hales?
Listen, Haley is a pacifist. She's the smartest woman in the room. But she can go from zero to Mama Bear in like 0.2 seconds.
Yes. Like, yes. And Mama Bear, she was. She was a grizzly with a trout.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what that analogy was.
I don't know, but I liked it.
Okay, good great. Job. Well, because grizzly bears eat fish. They eat trout.
Yes.
Great. Cool. But Nathan just says, okay, I'm going to take care of this because, you know, you shouldn't kick anyone's ass in the meantime, okay? Just be calm there. And he also says, you know, it was kind of hot because my girl's a badass.
God, they are so horny for each other.
Like, because they're 22, for God's sake.
I also love that she asked Nathan, what are you going to do? And he goes, I'm going to call her a bitch and push her.
Right. Yep. Okay. Then, incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, then we get the montage of the Peyton and Lucas house divided. Get ready. Ready for this?
Let's do it.
Peyton shuts off Lucas's TV because the remote is on her side of the house.
Yep.
Lucas in turn flips the breaker off to Peyton's side of the house. Lucas, like an idiot, left his phone on Peyton's side of the house. So she texts Fergie as Lucas saying that he loves him and he needs to speak with him immediately. To which then we get a quick scene of Junk and Fergie sitting on the couch playing video games, where Fergie flips open his phone and goes, Lucas wants him some Fergalicious. Dear God.
And then Junk looks at his phone and gets all disappointed.
Because he didn't have a text. Yep. Oh, I love those two. Yeah. Then we go to Nathan, who goes over to Brooke's house. And they first talk about Sam and how much harder it is than Brooke thought to have Sam in the house. And then Nathan Well, she says, it's really nice for you to come to check in on me. And he's like, oh, I kind of didn't. I need to ask you a favor. And it's really big and you have to do it in 2 hours, but it's for Jamie. Cool.
Yep.
Cool. Then Mouth is at work and he comes across his old pal at the news station. I can't remember what his name was, but he's like, dude, you have a really hot new intern. And we open the door. And we see the intern, and it's Gigi, who is all grown up.
She is, and she looks much more like Monica on Yellowstone now than she did 4 years ago.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, yeah, no, that's, I was like, that's Monica. And then, because when I first started watching Yellowstone, I think I texted you guys and I was like, I can't figure out why this woman's familiar. Oh, it's Gigi.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yep. Much to my father's chagrin, I have not watched Yellowstone yet.
Yeah, me either.
I haven't watched most of it, but I did start it at one point. Yeah, I need to go back to it. Anyway, this is not a Yellowstone podcast.
This is not a Yellowstone podcast. We are watching a much worse television show.
Stop. But Gigi, in a very tight sweater and a very short plaid skirt, jumps into Mouth's arms.
God.
Anyone
He's
else?
He's got a type.
Like, danger, danger, Will Robinson.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second that she calls his coworker, they used to be high school lovers.
Lovers. Lovers.
Hey, she Here's said lovers.
Gigi saw some shit in the last 4 years at college.
Yep.
She's seen and done.
She's still in college because she's younger than Mal.
That's true. Yes. Yes. She's seen and done a lot of shit. I'll say that.
Yes.
Yeah. So we come to learn.
Then back at school, Chuck starts teasing Jamie again about his cape, but he just walks away. And at that moment, Nathan shows up with a cape on and a box full of capes and starts to, he grabs a basketball and dunks the basketball a few times and says that he couldn't do that without his cape, to which all the kids now want to have a cape.
Hell yeah.
And Jamie just gives his dad a thumbs up and Nathan's like, yep, I did this without kicking somebody's ass.
Yay. Look at that character growth.
I didn't call anyone a bitch and push him down.
No broken backs here.
Nope, none. Then Brooke.
Except maybe Brooke's because she made all those capes in 2 hours. Seriously. Punched over her sewing machine.
Seriously.
A cape is a square of fabric with a string on it. Like, she's fine.
Yeah, she's fine. Yes. Speaking of Brooke, she goes to the diner and finds Sam there and asks where she's been. And Sam tells her that she said that she could come and go as she pleases. And Brooke explains that she didn't mean it like that. And she can't help her if Sam doesn't want the help. And then Sam says that, okay, fine. She's used to people giving up on her. And tells her that the waitress who's there, who works at the diner, is her mother. And one day she's going to actually tell her who she is.
Ugh. Ouch. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've been looking at that actress's IMDb page because this is the first time that I'm like, God, she looks so familiar.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
What?
She was on Awkward.
I never watched it. Mm. Yeah, I don't think I've seen anything that she's been
You're talking about Sam, right?
Yeah. No, I'm talking about Sophia Bush.
Well, you could have also been talking about the actress that was Sam's mother.
Oh, so No, I was talking about Sam. But yeah, I don't think I've seen anything she's been on, which is weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, when she was on Awkward, I mean, I didn't watch it either, but MTV pushed the hell out of that show.
That's true.
Oh, so I did. Even if you I watched Awkward.
Yeah. So like, but even if you didn't, like, you were at least bare minimally familiar with the show because MTV was promoting it so hard.
That I remember that. And I guess she is on The Flash or was, and Ben watches that shit. And I sometimes walk into the room while it's on. So maybe I've seen her face there. But yeah. No, it was a really good scene though. It was really heartbreaking. Like, God damn it. That one hurt.
Yeah. Then we go to Mouth, who is incessantly telling Gigi about his girlfriend, Millie, but Gigi's really just too busy admiring his muscles and telling him that she's been busy having lots of sex and having girlfriends in college. Gigi's not dangerous at all. It's fine.
Nope.
We didn't just meet Mouth's entire plot for the rest of the season. Everybody, it's fine.
Oh, I did not have this on my One Tree Hill bingo card. No,
you didn't have all a sexified Gigi coming back in Mouth's life?
No, I did not have bisexual villain Gigi coming in.
I mean, let's not forget, though, the first words Gigi ever said was how hot the basketball players were. So this was inside her the whole time. She just let it loose.
Yeah, she just got out from underneath her parents.
Yep.
She realized she could act on those horny thoughts. Yeah.
Gigi has been horny on Main since she was 15 years old.
Exactly. Yep. Oh, dear God.
I think this is my favorite episode of One Tree Hill. I'm not going to lie.
So good. All of it is so good. Then we go to Haley and Brooke, who are like having coffee. Like there's some, it's so funny how they do this with these adult characters now once in a while, is they have them sitting over a cup of coffee. Like they're, it seems like they're like in their 50s.
Like they're cosplaying adulthood.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they are 22 years old.
Right. And I remember at 22, I never went over to somebody's house for a cup of coffee.
No.
No.
Absolutely not. I still don't.
No. No. But anyway, they're having their cups of coffee at Brooke's house, and they're talking about Sam. And Haley apologizes for asking Brooke to look after her because it seems like, you know, Sam's been such a handful. And Brooke just doubts her strength as to be a mom about all this. And Haley assures her that she's one of the strongest people she knows because of the fact that she's still standing after losing her company and giving it up. And Brooke reiterates the same to Haley, that Haley is one of the strongest people she's ever met. And Brooke says she now gets to design clothes on her own terms. And Haley tells her about the busker and how free she felt about music. And Brooke tells her that she needs to learn how to make music fun again for her. And she has to find what she loves about it and go from there. And that's how you're going to find your way back to music. And Haley just says she'll think about it. And then Haley asks Brooke if she's definitely done with Sam. But Brooke just says she'll think about it. Mm-hmm. Good friend convo over that made up cup of coffee.
Yes.
Then Peyton pulls another very dirty trick in her book by coming out to Lucas in only a t-shirt to seduce him and says, you know, since it's dark in my room, I think I'm just going to turn in early. And Lucas is like, that's fine. I'm going to just go read. He says, because he loves his book. And she's like, that's fine. I love to sleep naked. And he just goes, good. One. Nice one.
It's working now. God damn it.
Yep. Yep. Then Nathan and Haley.
Lucas has entered the chat. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. No, it's all good. Back on track, though. Nathan and Haley took. No, okay.
Never.
Okay. Track adjacent, please.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes. Track adjacent. We go back to Nathan and Haley, who are tucking Jamie in. As he's talking about how good a day he had at school, because everyone loved his cape and everyone had their capes and it was all great. And he even got some girls' phone numbers, just like Uncle Skills told him to.
No, he got their digits.
Yes. Like Grandpa Uncle Skills told him.
Can no one just have an uncle in this fucking TV show?
No. I don't even think he calls him Grandpa Uncle, but that's what I want to say from now on. Yep. He's Grandpa Uncle Skills.
Grandpa Uncle Skills.
And he then asks Haley about her poncho and why she doesn't wear it anymore. And she says she thinks she just kind of outgrew it one day. And Nathan tells Jamie he's proud of him for walking away. And Jamie admits to him that he wouldn't have actually probably even fought Chuck, but he called Quentin stupid. And he wasn't stupid. He was his friend. And Nathan says, yes, he was. And Quentin would be very proud of him.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Quentin also would have knocked Chuck's ass out.
Absolutely.
Oh, Quentin shoot up and spit out that little shit in 2 seconds.
He would have using that fucking cast as a battering ram, just like taking out fucking kindergartners left and right.
Exactly. Yeah. Then we see Sam go back to the high school auto shop where she finds Brooke waiting in the trunk of the car. And Brooke just says, I thought I'd come over to your place tonight. And Brooke tells her that she knows what it's like to have parents that ignore and resented her. And she tells her she wants her to move in with her on a foster home basis. really move in with her. And she lays down some ground rules that, you know, breakfast is at 7 and a couple of other things. And Sam agrees. Great. Haley then tells Nathan what he did for Jamie was amazing. And Nathan says, well, he did it for Chuck's mom because he was worried that Haley was going to kick her ass again.
Valid.
And she says, well, what are you going to do tomorrow, superhero? And he says, no, I think I'm just going to be mild-mannered, you know, slam ball player tomorrow. And he asks her what she's going to do tomorrow. And she says, I'm thinking about doing some music, which he's very happy to hear.
Yep. Good.
Yes. Good. Then we go to Brooke, where Owen comes to her door to talk. He asks for a chance to explain himself. And he says he got freaked out at her mentioning, you know, a baby. And he knows he wouldn't be a good father because, you know, he had a really horrible home life and his drug addiction and everything like that. And Brooke says that she never asked him to be a father. But he says, you know, if she had eventually asked him, he knew he wouldn't be a good one. But Brooke tells him that maybe all that bad stuff in his life prepared him to be a good father, as she's seen him be kind and caring with people like Rachel and Jamie and Sam. And Owen confesses that the only reason he brought Sam home was just to see Brooke. And she tells him then, well, if Sam shows up there, to bring her home again. And Owen says he hopes that she's in a drinking mood. But if not, then the real Brooke Davis will show up and promises that he won't disappear again on her.
I know he was trying to be sweet, but here's hoping your 15-year-old ward comes back to the bar tonight.
Right.
Not
a good thing to say
there,
Joel.
Not the best there. Manicotti, not doing it for me, at least.
But yes.
I honestly think that so far in this series, the best proposition Brooke has ever had was last season when Chase goes, if you ever need anything, you know, a shoulder to cry on, a husband, you know where to find me.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Still the best proposition she's ever received.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Then we cut over to Lucas and Peyton, where Peyton wakes up to see Lucas shining a flashlight into her room. And he tells her he read somewhere that couples should never go to bed angry at one another. And Peyton admits she's not really angry with him at all. She's been having fun just playing around. And he reminds her that all of her stuff has been on his side of the house. So he went through it and found a new picture to replace the one of him and Lindsay. And she makes fun of him for going through her art once again. And
without her permission.
Yep. And they call a truce as one of them is starving and the other one has not used the bathroom all day.
Yep. The bathroom was on Peyton's side and the fridge is on Lucas's side.
Yep.
Oh.
God, it was funny.
Yep. Very cute.
Yep. Then we go to Mouth and Millie, who she walks in on him getting ready for work the next day. And Mouth's a little awkward with talking to her about stuff, but he just basically, it boils down to how happy he is to be back with her.
Yeah.
But he's also very
tell her about Gigi.
Nope. He does not say anything about Gigi, and he's very nervous. You can tell the whole time. So
she's like, you smell good. Hot date. And he's like, no, it's work. No, just work. Work, and
can we start a new segment of each episode of this podcast called Dumbest Boy in School?
Yes,
sure. And award Dumbest Boy in School to someone every episode for something stupid they did.
Yes,
because last week it was Lucas, this week it's Mouth.
Yes,
there we go. Okay, cool. How do we wonder if Nathan will ever get this Dumbest Boy in School?
I mean,
yeah,
he could.
But his really dumb days are, I think he's settling into just like hot husband, hot dad.
Mild-mannered hot husband, hot dad, slam ball player.
Yeah, mild-mannered slam ball player era.
Yep.
Mild-mannered dilf.
Yes. Nathan Scott, mild-mannered dilf.
Yep, there it is. Okay, then we go to Dan, who is dropping Jamie off at school.
This is it.
Jesse, you want to take this one?
No.
Okay.
She
can't say it without laughing.
No, because I, well, here's the thing. I didn't write it down. So I just know that Dan sees Chuck's mom and not so subtly threatens her while dropping Jamie off.
So, yeah.
He's late for his parole officer for murder.
Yeah, no. He's like, blah, 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 you know, I love my grandson more, you know, blah, blah, blah. Have a good day. I have a meeting with my parole officer. And he turns and starts the car, turns back, looks her dead in the face and goes, for murder, and just rolls his window up. And all you see is her reflected, horrified face in his window.
Uh-huh.
Murder.
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 Yep.
Like... God.
God, yeah.
So it was that line this episode and last episode when he said Brussels sprouts just taste bad for no good reason that truly I'm like, fuck this show for trying to make me like Dan Scott.
But they're doing a good job of it these last two episodes. They're doing a good job these last two episodes. Yes. I can't lie. It's fine. Yeah. Okay. Then we get our montage, which starts with Haley coming to play with Grace Potter the Busker. And which is really cool to actually hear them sing together. And we see Nathan practicing slam ball. Brooke has Sam breakfast made at 7 a.m. Sam is not there when she checks in her room. But as she turns around, Sam is walking in through the back door, which I believe is the deck. So how did she get on the deck? I don't want to know.
Nope.
But Sam just sits down and starts eating breakfast. And Brooke looks at her and she's like, it's 7. I'm here for breakfast.
Malicious compliance is what we're calling that. And I'm into it.
She's like, I'm doing what you said.
Yeah, I'm here for breakfast. Yeah.
Yep, yep. Then Peyton and Lucas have finally unpacked all of her stuff. And Peyton has made them waffles.
Woo!
Not French toast, not pancakes, waffles. And
the superior option.
Yes. It has more syrup-holding capabilities.
Yeah. Yeah. And butter.
Answer me this question, ladies and gentlemen. What is your favorite? Pancakes, waffles, or French toast? We want to know. We do.
And why is it waffles?
Mm-hmm. Facts. Yeah. We're 3 out of 3 waffles here. Sorry, not sorry. Yeah. And she's like, well, I hope you like the recipe. I got it from B. Davis Magazine. And he says, well, I hope you liked getting the magazine while you did because I just canceled your subscription. And at that moment, someone knocks at the door and they're like, oh, there are people in the outside world. And they open the door and it's Fergie saying, Lucas, I got your text. Seems like we need to talk. And Peyton just laughs. So funny. Then the last scene is Chuck comes up to Jamie at school and asks him to play kickball and he can be on his team. And what are you doing? And Jamie's like, whoa, whoa, Chuck, slow your roll.
Chill, maybe
not right now. Maybe some other time. And Chuck asks him why he's not wearing his cape because every other kid in the class is. And Jamie says, you know, some people are leaders and others are followers. And he just walks off grinning.
God.
And the episode ends with the still shot of Jamie walking towards the camera smirking. And it's just so precious.
God.
Uh-huh. It's great. Yes. So that was the episode, kids. What did we think?
Loved it.
I loved it.
So good.
I didn't forget about these different plot lines,
mm-hmm.
but I forgot that they all happen at once.
Yep. And I like, it's one of the reasons why I've said this before, why I love this show. It balances the comedy and the drama so well, because you do have the very serious storyline of Brooke and Sam throughout this entire episode to kind of ground it. Because I think if all of them had something stupidly funny going on, it would be less funny, I think. There's the light and shade of the episode. So it does make, you know, Brooke and Lucas's shenanigans and Haley.
Peyton and Lucas.
What did I say?
Brooke. Good, Brooke.
Oh, well, oops. Yeah, no. Peyton and Lucas and Nathan and Haley, you know, with Haley kicking Chuck Skolnick's mom's ass.
And even like the serious stuff with Brooke and Sam had its own comedy.
It did.
Brooke realizing how in over her head she is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, that's
one
true.
Of the funniest moments of the entire episode was her storming into Haley's classroom.
That's very true.
Yes.
Yes. So it is. It's just, it's a good episode. It's a really funny episode. It's that romp that we've needed because I think we've had 5, 6 episodes of heavy. this whole it's time.
Been so heavy for so long.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. We finally broke the tension. I mean, last week's episode was had no tension. It was a check-in, but now it's really just, you know, the tension's gone. Everyone's funny and it's great.
Yep.
Murder. Yeah. Fuck. So what did you think?
Yeah, no, I'm into it. Like, am I happy to see Gigi? No, can't say I am. Happy that Mouth's back, though. God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested to see what Owen mm-hmm. is up to as well. So. Mm-hmm.
And also, too, it's nice to finally see another kid on the show.
Yes.
Like, obviously, Chuck and Jamie are going to become friends. Like, that was what the end of that episode was, with him being like, oh, you can be on my dodgeball team or whatever the hell it was. So I'm happy that Jamie has someone who's not in their 20s to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I feel like it's a good palate cleanser, because I did just realize what the next episode is, for us to deep dive into season 6 plots. Because... yep. Things happen next episode.
But I like it when nothing happens.
Jesse's favorite episodes of this TV show are when absolutely nothing happens.
Yes. Yep.
I just want to giggle. That's all I want to do. We know this. I just want to sit and giggle.
And I will say, this show is good at making us giggle. It is good at that. Yes. But no, you're going to like next week's episode. I promise.
Okay.
It's a good episode. It's a good episode.
As long as you promise.
I promise.
Sorry. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Caitlin just looked ahead. Yep. Yep.
I remember now.
Yep.
Oh no.
I knew it was coming. I just didn't know. I couldn't remember when.
Mm-hmm. You knew it was coming?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
See, and Jesse, that's the thing, is like I've said this before many times on this podcast, but when it comes to season 6 on, I haven't watched them nearly as much as I've watched 1 through 5.
Right.
So all of the major plot points for the rest of the series, I know that they happen, but I can't remember when.
Mine is from 7 on. Like 6, if I do a rewatch, it's usually 1 through 6 is my happy place. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've watched 7, 8, 9 rewatched in years. Years. So
yeah.
Same. Yeah, and so I'm relishing in the fact that I remember what happens in 6 enough. But yeah, trust me, we're all going to be in unknown territory very soon here. So yeah.
Can't wait.
I'm just going to enjoy it while I can.
but no, like the things that are coming in season 6, I know what's coming. I just can't remember when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it comes next week.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about B. Davis Magazine.
Okay.
On a completely mm-hmm. different note. Cool. How? Okay. Brooke gave up her shares of the company.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. it's still obviously B. Davis Magazine. It's still obviously Clothes Over Bros. How are they still using her image legally on the covers of the magazine?
Because I'm sure this was this month's issue and Brooke literally just gave up her magazine like a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure that it's, you know,
this,
several episodes. I'm sure that there is probably at least one or two more issues that are like almost yep. that are basically ready to go. But also, I'm sure when, you know, when she decided to make the company in the first place, she legally gave them permission to use her likeness mm-hmm. and her IP.
Right.
So I don't think they have to stop just because there's no B. Davis. They can put someone else on the cover just like you do mm-hmm. on Cosmo.
Right. You know? Right.
That's
no.
obviously what this magazine is meant to be.
Yeah.
A representation of his Cosmo.
Yeah. No, it just seems. We've only ever seen covers of B. Davis Magazine with B. Davis on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that it seems like an O Magazine situation where it's always Oprah, sometimes Oprah and Friend, but always mm-hmm. Oprah. Mm-hmm. And what do they do? If Oprah were to sell her company, what would they do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the vibe I'm.
Did we just trace a line from Brooke Davis to Oprah?
Yes, I did.
I am here for it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Brooke Davis needs a talk show.
She'd be a great talk show host.
She would. She would.
She'd be so great at talking to people. Mm-hmm. Because she's like, she's got the right amount of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she's, you know, obviously she's basically in some way famous herself. So talking to famous people doesn't like faze her.
Yep.
Right. She got set up great. With famous people all the time on her fake.
The date. Knicks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Anything else we want to add about this episode before we wrap up, kids?
Nothing that has anything to do with anything.
Great. Yes, sounds good. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. Rate us 5 stars. It really does help us out in the long run with all those lovely podcast algorithms. Follow us on social media. We are everywhere at On Wednesdays Pod. We interact and live most often in Instagram land. So hit us up there if you have any questions, comments, and or concerns, especially about if you're pancakes, waffles, or French toast. We are dying to know. And yeah, we will see you guys next week for another fun-filled episode on Wednesdays. We watch One Tree Hill when it arrives.
Yep.
It's coming. Yep. We'll see you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.